Again, just a warm welcome to everyone that's joined us tonight. It's good to see you. It's good to see folks that have travelled a wee distance, even through from Lanarkshire. It's good to see them again tonight. And we just give everyone a welcome, whether you've come a distance or whether you've just come from just up the street. It's good to see everyone that's come. And we just give you a welcome and trust the Lord will bless each one of us tonight as we're under the sound of his voice. Now, there'll be another meeting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and we just want to give you a very warm invitation to join us. That will be the last meeting of this series of meetings. And we would love to see you back again. Now, we announced that meeting, but there's no guarantee that that meeting will ever take place because we're really anticipating the Lord Jesus coming back again. That's what we're going to speak about tonight. We're going to speak about the coming again of the Lord Jesus and the subsequent events that are going to take place in this earth. The meeting tonight is going to be a very challenging meeting. It's going to be a very, I suppose there's a sense it's going to be a very sad meeting, as we ponder together some of the events that are going to take place in this world after the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to take his own. That's what we've been singing about, when he takes his own to glory. And the Lord Jesus is coming, and when he comes back, he's going to take those that belong to him. He's going to take them out of this world. He's going to take them to heaven. And then there's going to be a process of events that are going to take place in this world. A period of intense tribulation and trial. And we're going to look at some of these events tonight. And I trust that God would really speak to all our hearts. I trust that God would speak to my heart tonight and speak to the heart of every Christian, because we're living in last days. We're living right at the very end of a particular dealing, age of God's dealing with mankind. This is what the theologians refer to as the dispensation of God's grace. And for over 2,000 years ago, God has been calling out of all the nations of people for his own son. And I'm glad I'm part of that people tonight. And when I was a wee boy of 9, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And when I trusted Jesus as my Saviour, I came into that realm where I belong to him. I'm one of his. I'm one of his children, one of God's children. One of the sheep of the flock of the Lord Jesus. And there's coming a moment when he's going to take all that belong to him. He's going to take them home to heaven. And that's a wonderful prospect, isn't it? I wonder tonight, are you among his own? You know, one of the wonderful things, as we look over the past 6 weeks, 7 weeks almost, you know, there are folks in here tonight, and, you know, 7 weeks ago, they were lost, and tonight they're saved. If the Lord Jesus Christ had come 7 weeks ago, they would have been left for judgment. But praise God, if the Lord Jesus was to come tonight, then along with us, they would go home to heaven. But, you know, the thing that burdens my heart tonight is simply this, that if the Lord was to come tonight, and that is a possibility, there are folks here that are going to be left. Because you don't belong to Christ. You've never trusted him. You've heard the gospel. And you've understood it in your mind. But you've never taken Christ as your Saviour. You've never taken that vital step of faith. And if the Lord Jesus was to come tonight, you would be left. And that hurts me tonight. But if it hurts me, how much more does it hurt the Lord Jesus? And we quoted that verse at least once, maybe more than once over the past week. The words of the Lord Jesus, he looked over Jerusalem. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and ye would not, ye would not." What the Lord is really saying, listen, I couldn't do any more for you. I couldn't do any more for you. And you just rejected me. You just didn't want me. And you know, I really feel that the Lord Jesus has looked over these meetings night by night. And he's looked at certain individuals and he said, "Oh," and he's mentioned you by name as he's cried in the depths of his heart. How often would I have gathered you? How often did I call you? How often did I speak to you? How often did I plead with you? I sought to draw you to myself. I made myself available for you to trust in. And you would not. You would not. Oh, the tragedy of that. And I'm really praying tonight that before this meeting's finished, that every single individual will trust the Lord Jesus. Because I wouldn't like to leave any behind. I wouldn't like to leave any behind. In that glorious moment when the Lord comes to take me to heaven, I would really long that every single soul in this meeting would go with me. And so tomorrow night will be the last night of the meetings. At 8 o'clock, we'd love to see you again. But don't presume on another opportunity. Don't presume on it. Because tonight might be your last opportunity to get right with God, to trust the Saviour. And if the Lord doesn't come, there will be a meeting tomorrow night, And then there'll be another meeting on Sunday night at 6 p.m. That's the normal gospel meeting here in the hall at 6 p.m. And the speaker will be Stuart Gillespie at the front here. And if you're free on that night, then you would certainly be made welcome. Tuesday night is the normal midweek meeting of the Christians that gather here, 7:30, for a time of prayer. And then 8 o'clock, there'll be a word of ministry, a word of teaching. Stuart will be the speaker again. And the subject will be Matthew chapter 5. And the subject will be the blessings of being a Christian. And of course, these meetings will be in the will of God, and everyone is given a warm welcome to these meetings if they're free. Now, I want to read some verses from Mark's Gospel again, in chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And we'll just read at verse 3 and down a few verses, and then we'll jump a wee bit further down the chapter. Verse 3 says, "And as Jesus sat up on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, 'Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs when all these things shall be fulfilled?' And Jesus answering them began to say, 'Take heed, lest any man deceive you.'" Now, there's a lot of deception in the world tonight, isn't there? There's a lot of deception about the future and about prophetic things. And, you know, you can listen to all different people and you can read all sorts of books, and people will come to your door and they're trying to deceive you as to what's going to happen in the days to come. What the prophetic program that God has for this world. The Lord Jesus says, take heed, don't allow anybody to deceive you. I want you to be clear as to what is going to happen in the future. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. And these are the beginnings of sorrows." Verse 14, just for sake of time. "But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is in the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in winter, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except the Lord had shortened these days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'Lo, he is there,' don't believe him. For false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." Now that's all we're reading. We look to God to add a blessing. I would suppose that everyone in the meeting tonight is interested, at least to some degree, in the future. You know, someone just earlier on today asked for a look at the paper in the cafe, and the first thing they did was they turned to the horoscope because they were interested in the future. And you know, every magazine and every newspaper has got that little section, and people are interested. People just seem to have some sort of desire to know what's going to happen. Well, I'm going to speak about the future tonight, and I don't need any crystal ball, because all the answers to the future are in this sacred book. I want to think tonight, my friend, of what is going to happen to this world. People say to me, you know, things just can't go on as they're going, because society just seems to be sinking deeper and deeper into a cesspool of iniquity. There seems to be a tremendous increase in violence, and there just seems to be corruption in every hand and side, and the whole breakup of family life and social life, and everything just seems to be unstable. And people say, things just can't go on like this. And you're right, things won't just always go on like this. God is going to intervene. And I just want to think tonight of the way that God is going to intervene in this world. God intervened in this world 2,000 years ago, didn't he? Into this world 2,000 years ago, he sent his lovely son, the Lord Jesus. And men said no to him. Men said, listen, we don't want you. We want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. We want to run our own life. We want to be masters of our own destiny. We don't want you. And they took Jesus Christ and they nailed him on a cross. And when they nailed Jesus Christ on the cross, men were really saying no to God. And God says, okay, just go on. Do you think society has got better since Calvary? Or worse? My friend, every succeeding generation just slips a further rung down the ladder into the pit of immorality and debauchery and sin and corruption, doesn't it? The whole world's in a mess, isn't it? Because man can't really look after his own affairs. Man can't really govern his own life, never mind his own nation. And because men and women rejected God and rejected his son at Calvary and tried to run their own lives, then we're left with a mess that we've got tonight. But isn't it wonderful that despite the fact that men have, in general, have said no to the Lord Jesus, God has still, through the person of the Lord Jesus, offered salvation to individuals that have been prepared to repent of their sins and trust the Saviour. And praise God, that's exactly what has happened over these past weeks of meeting. There's been individuals here and there, and they've come to that point when they've repented of their sins and they've trusted the Saviour, and they've experienced wonderful forgiveness and glorious eternal salvation. What about you tonight? Are you still among the masses of humanity that are saying no to God and no to Christ? Or I wonder, my friend, are you among those that have said yes to him? Are you among those that have come to realise that you need the Lord Jesus, that you have messed up your life, and that you can't run it yourself? And have you come to that point when you've confessed your need as a sinner before God, and by faith you've received the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, and you've made him Lord of your life? My friend, if you haven't done that, you can do it tonight. You don't even need to wait to the end of the meeting. You don't need to speak to the preacher. My friend, just where you sit, you can say yes to the Lord Jesus. You can receive him. Yeah, will you do that to me? And you see, there's coming a moment when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back for all those that have trusted him, all those that have received him into his life. He's going to come back for them. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a promise to his disciples even before he went to the cross. He says, listen, he says, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that's what every Christian's waiting for tonight. We're waiting for that moment when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to take us to where he is. What a prospect. I wonder, my friend, is that your prospect tonight? Is that what you're looking forward to? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, says the Bible. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a prospect. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for every day. I'm just looking for that moment when the Lord will come and just gather out of the world all those that have trusted him, all those that he's won. My friend, if he was come tonight, tell me, would you go? Or would you delay? You say, well, when is he coming? Well, my friend, we don't really know when he's coming. But we know this, that we're nearly 7 weeks closer than when we started these meetings. And every day that passes and every tick of the clock that passes is taking us nearer that glorious moment when the Lord will come. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, every Christian will disappear, caught up in the air and caught in heaven. And there's no sign will appear in the sky. And there'll be no warning note will be given. And there's no prophecy needs to be fulfilled. There's nothing, absolutely nothing to hinder the Lord Jesus coming tonight. The only thing that prevents him coming is the grace and mercy of our God. Because God is looking down in this little meeting tonight. And he loves sinners. He loves you tonight. And he longs for you to be saved.
But my friend, don't presume on his mercy for too long. Because there's coming a day when he'll say, rise up and shut to the door. My friend, there's coming a day when the Lord will come. My friend, it might be tonight. And that would behove you tonight to get ready. Not to wait to the end of the meeting, it might be too late. But as you sit in your seat tonight, if you're conscious of your need as a poor, lost, guilty sinner, then trust the Lord tonight. Call on his name. Become one of his own through faith and be ready for that glorious moment when he calls his own home to heaven. That's the first event that's going to happen as far as the prophetic calendar of God is concerned. The Lord Jesus is going to take his own home to heaven. What's going to happen then? I want you just to ponder that tonight. What do you think would happen if every Christian suddenly disappeared from this world? Do you think society will get better or worse? I know there might be times when you think that Christians are a queer lot. But you imagine if they weren't there. You imagine if totally ungodly men were ruling our country without any restraint. If there was no voice of Christian protest. If there was no Christian influence. Think of what society would degenerate into in a very short period of time. When this world would be marked by unrestrained sin and immorality and corruption and vice. My friend, I tell you, in a very short period of time, the police forces right across the whole broad acres of the globe, my friend, will be scorching its straws, wondering how they can ever hold back the awful tide of evil that will surge across the world. But my friend, society will not simply degenerate. I notice, my friend, that God is going to move in judgment. We mentioned recently, as we preached the gospel, the fact that God has really appointed a day in which he'll judge the world. But my friend, as I read the Bible, I discover there's a whole process of judgment in this world. The Bible identifies 7 years. 7 years of tribulation. The last 3.5 years of that is called in the Bible the great tribulation, the tribulation, the great one. My friend, I don't have vocabulary tonight. I don't have vocabulary to describe the awful horrors that will come upon this world when God withholds his hand of mercy and releases his hand of wrath and his hand of judgment. 7 years. You picked up on some of the things, didn't you, as we read down through these verses in Mark's Gospel? Speaks about wars. Speaks about nations rising up against nations. Talks about earthquakes in diverse places. Talks about famines. It talks about troubles. And what the Lord Jesus speaks about in these few verses in Mark chapter 13, we have amplified for us in Revelation chapter 6. You see, once the Lord Jesus Christ takes his people home to heaven, there's going to be a man who's going to arise in the world. He's referred to in the Bible as the Antichrist. He's going to be a superman. He's going to be a man that's going to present himself as having all the answers to the world's woes. He'll have a great explanation as to why all the Christians have disappeared. He'll explain it all away in a moment, and the people will believe him. And he'll come onto the stage of history, and he'll say, peace. But in reality, there's no peace. He's a false Christ. He's a false Messiah. He's a man that comes onto the pages of history totally and utterly motivated by the evil one himself. And his number is 666. And ultimately, he'll demand universal worship. He'll demand that everyone bows before him and acknowledges him as absolute supreme. He'll be the head of the world religion. He'll be the head of the world's politics. He'll be the head of the world's commerce. And there he is, the Antichrist.
And ultimately, every individual will need to receive his mark, either on their forehead or on the back of their hand. 666. And there he was. He'll come into this world and he'll say, "Peace, I'm in control. You don't need to worry. You worship me. I've got everything in my hand." But very soon that peace will turn to bloodshed and slaughter. And very soon nation will rise up against nation.
God in his sovereign ways and his judgmental dealings with this world, he'll set men against men. And all over the face of the globe, there will be uprisings and there'll be slaughter.
And subsequent to the wars, there'll be famines. And subsequent to famines, there'll be death. And subsequent to death, there'll be hell. God moves in judgment in this old world. Wave after wave of his judgment, ratty lashes against the shores of time. During these first waves of divine judgment, the book of Revelation tells us that 1/4, 25% of the world's population will be affected at the first waves. The end of Revelation chapter 6 will show us that God will not only set men against men, God will set all the forces, all the inherent powers of nature will be set against men. And there will be tremendous earthquakes. And the sun will darken, the very moon will turn to blood. Men will cry, they'll cry on the rocks to hide them. Because the great day of God's wrath. The great day of God's wrath. My friend, tonight is the great day of God's grace.
Tonight is the day of God's opportunity. Tonight, today, is the day where God is offering salvation to everyone that will trust his Son. Tomorrow
might be God's day of wrath. God's day of judgment. My friend, we're in earnest tonight. These are serious business. These are serious matters. There are consequences for refusing Christ. My friend, I want to ask you something. What's keeping you back from trusting him?
What is so precious to you that you're prepared to risk your soul for? What's so precious that you're prepared to pass through that awful time of judgment for?
My friend, renounce every sin thing and forsake every idol and trust the Saviour because he's coming soon for his own, and when he takes his own home to heaven, he's going to pour out his judgment in this godless world. And all these events that the Lord speaks about, as John speaks about in Revelation 6, these are all the beginnings of sorrows. And I don't have time tonight to go through the continuation of those waves of divine judgment during these years of tribulation. Because God will not only set man against man and the forces of nature against men, but God will unleash the very demon forces of hell against men. The Bible speaks about demon forces that are presently in captivity.
When Satan fell from the heights of heaven and was cast into the air to become the prince of the air,
he brought with him a whole host of heavenly beings. And these heavenly beings are reserved. And there's coming a day when part of that host are going to be released. That's those demon powers, these demon hordes are going to be released. And this world is going to know a period of time of tremendous demon possession and demon oppression. Men and women all over the globe are going to come face to face with the very powers of darkness as God deals in judgment in this world.
My friend, the Lord Jesus is the great deliverer from wrath to come. That's how we're presenting him night after night. That's how we're presenting him tonight, my friend. He's the great deliverer.
You don't need to experience that judgment. You don't need to pass through this tribulation. The Lord Jesus is prepared to save you from it, to deliver you out of it, from it altogether, if you'll trust him.
My friend, why don't trust him any? Why continue in your sins?
Why continue to expose yourself to the wrath of God when there's a Saviour that awaits you?
And I learned from the book of Revelation that during these 7 years of tribulation, God will not only set man against man and nature against man and the demon forces against man, but he'll come again, the very hosts of heaven will come against man. And just at the end of that period of 7 years, the Bible speaks about one coming forth from heaven in a white horse. His name is Faithful and True.
And he comes there with garments dipped in blood. The very blood that he shed at Calvary. The nail-pierced Christ of God. The one that men rejected on the cross. And he comes forth from heaven in a white horse.
He comes with the very hosts of heaven. And they come. And all the nations of the world are gathered in the valley of Megiddo. In the land of Palestine. And the Lord Jesus Christ with all the hosts of heaven will come, and the greatest of all battles that has ever been fought will be fought that day. And the Bible tells us that the very blood of the slain will be up to the very bridles of the horses. I think God is moving in judgment. Don't mock God tonight. Don't trifle with God tonight. He's an awesome God. Oh, he's a God of love. Oh, my friend, just take a moment tonight to praise him that he's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. The very fact that you're sitting here tonight with another opportunity to hear the gospel is an evidence of the mercy of God towards you and towards your comeness. What a merciful God.
But he's a God of righteousness. Can he tolerate sin? Well, you tolerate sin in your life. You'll tolerate sin in the lives of others, and you'll tolerate sin in society, but my God can't. My God must deal with it. My God must suppress rebellion.
And that's what God will do. After the Lord Jesus has taken out of the world all those that belong to him, when they're safe in heaven, secure in Christ, then God will take dealings with this world in judgment. Setting man against man, wars and rumours of wars. Setting the powers of nature against man, the earthquakes, and the darkened sun, and the darkened moon, and rivers becoming blood, and seas becoming his blood.
And he'll set the demon hordes against men. And ultimately he'll come in judgment against man himself, with all the hosts of heaven.
And in that day there's going to be a little remnant of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel will almost be squashed out of existence at that point. And that little name, that little remnant of Israel, when they see this blessed one coming forth from heaven in the white horse, they're going to look at him and they're going to say, "Shah, he was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripe we are saved."
What a day for Israel. When that one they rejected and hung on a cross is going to intervene in their behalf. And present himself as the great majestic Messiah, and they'll bow at his feet, and they'll repent of their sin, and they'll acknowledge him as King of Kings. The Lord Jesus wants you to do that tonight. They're going to look at him whom they pierced it. What a day for Israel. That poor, battered nation, persecuted over the centuries of time. During these days of tribulation, all must wipe out your blood until the Messiah comes, the one they rejected. He's going to come back and he's going to come for them. And they're going to recognize him and they're going to bow before him. Ah, my friend, listen. You've rejected him, haven't you? I don't know what age you are tonight. You may be still in your teens, your early 20s, your late 40s. I don't know what age you are tonight, but you've rejected Christ for years. Isn't it wonder that he's presenting himself to you again? He wants to be your saviour. He wants you to bow before him. He wants you to come to that point where you say, ah, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was, you know. He was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement for my peace was all upon him. My friend, Calvary was for you. Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you. He suffered for you on the cross. Oh, that you would acknowledge that tonight. It was for your sins that he died in Calvary. I know that you might receive him into your heart and in your life tonight, acknowledging him as Lord of your life. I notice that in the acknowledging of Jesus Christ as King and Lord, he brought them into blessing. He brought them into blessing, and he will bring them into blessing. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is actually going to reign in this world. After he defeats all the enemy forces at the Valley of Megiddo, he'll come to Jerusalem and he'll set up his kingdom. And he's going to reign. It's going to be a reign of righteousness, a reign of peace. What a day for Israel. What a day for the whole nations of the world. They're going to be blessed through Christ in that day to come. My friend, you can be blessed by Christ tonight. You can know his righteousness reigning in your heart. You can know his peace reigning within your soul tonight. We've preached on that before, haven't we? The Prince of Peace. What a beautiful expression. Israel's going to experience that in a day to come. My friend, you can experience that tonight. He's the peacemaker, he's the peace giver. He's made peace by the blood of his cross. He gives peace to those that trust in him. Oh, my friend, that peace he wants to impart to your heart tonight, if you'll just acknowledge him as your Lord and Saviour. And he wants to clothe you in all his righteousness. Clothe you in all his righteousness. Oh, my friend, that's what it means to be justified, you know. To be made righteous before God. Not in our own righteousness, but in his righteousness. All the righteousness of the Lord Jesus been made over to us. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, the moment a soul bows and acknowledges Christ as Lord, they're brought any blessing. They're brought any blessing. And Christ reigns supreme in their hearts. What joy. But that's not the end. The reign of Christ in this world will only last for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be bound in a bottomless pit. And after 1,000 years, he's going to be released. And God is going to prove something. God is going to prove that the heart of man is just the same. Satan will come forth with all his venom and all his hatred and hostility against God and his people, and he's going to tempt them and test them, and man will show that his heart's just the same. It's just as sinful as ever. Our heart is sinful, you know, isn't it? Your heart's sinful. Ah, praise God, the Lord Jesus wants to wash it as white as snow. Though your sins be as crimson, they shall be as snow, as white as wool. Oh, my friend, oh, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. He wants to put a new heart in you tonight. Take away that heart of stone. Give you a heart of flesh. You know, there's maybe folks, and maybe you've sat through these meetings night after night, and there has been a heart of stone. Just that stubbornness. Just that willfulness. Just that resistance against the word of God. He wants to take away that heart of stone. He wants to put within you a heart of flesh. Tenderness. His tenderness. His love. His compassion. It's pure. And that nation's going to be blessed. And then Satan's going to be released. And man's heart is just the same, and God will come in a final judgment. And this old world is all going to be bundled. You see, God promised way back in Noah's day, he said that he would never judge the world in a flood. He'll never judge it by water. When God judges the world, he's going to judge it by fire. The Bible tells us that after that there's going to be the final judgment, the really final judgment. Not so much in the world, but in individuals. The book of Revelation talks about the great white throne. John sees it as he saw it in a vision as he was exiled in the Isle of Patmos. He says, I saw a great white throne. And he says, him that sat on it, from whose face the very heavens and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for him. How awesome. How awesome. The one that's sitting on that throne, that great white throne, in the day to come is no less than the man of Calvary. And John says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before him. Do you know who's going to be there? Pilate's going to be there. We might just touch on Pilate tomorrow night, I don't know. But Pilate was the man that sentenced Jesus Christ to die. And Pilate's going to be there. You see, the tables are going to be turned on him.
Near Pilate sat on the judgment throne, and he sentenced Christ. Crucify him.
So Lord Jesus Christ is going to be sitting on the throne in that day, and Pilate's going to be in the dock, and Pilate will be sentenced to the depths of the everlasting furnace. Tables are turned. You see, 2,000 years ago, Pilate had the opportunity to make a decision about Christ. At that great white throne, it's going to be Christ that's going to have the opportunity to make a decision about life. My friend, tonight you've got an opportunity to make a decision about Christ. And you're going to make a decision about him. You're either going to receive Christ tonight or you're going to reject him. Now if you leave the meeting without the Lord Jesus, you're rejecting him tonight. You might try to make a lot of excuses, but my friend, that's the bottom line. That's the black and white of the whole story. If you leave the meeting unsaved, still in your sin tonight, then you're saying no to Jesus. You're rejecting him. Because you can either receive him or reject him tonight. There's no other grounds. You have an opportunity to make a decision about him tonight. But my friend, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before that great white throne. And my friend, it won't be you that will be making the decisions, it will be Christ. And the decision he makes is going to be based on the things that are written in the book. And some of you in years gone past saw that program originally by Eamon Andrews, you know, this is your life, this is your life. But the Lord Jesus is going to say in the day to come when the dead, small and great, stand before him. He's just going to open the book and say, look, this is your life. It's all here. It's all here. The things that you've forgotten about, they're all in the book. The things that you're trying to forget about, they're all in the book. The things that you'll never forget about, they're all in the book. And there's coming a day when the dead, small and great, are going to stand before that awesome one as he sits on the throne. And they're going to be judged according to the things written in the book. And those who are not found written in the Lamb's book of life are going to be cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. My friend, how awesome. There's going to be no court of appeal, you know. There's going to be no advocate. Every mouth is going to be stopped because the mouth, the one that sits on that throne is the holy and true. He's the faithful one. He's the righteous one. And the judgment, my friend, is going to be absolutely perfect. There'll be no complaints in that day. Everyone knows that what they receive is what they deserve. My friend, can I say to you tonight, what you deserve is hell. What I deserve is hell.
I deserve an eternity in the lake of fire to suffer in agony for my sins. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve.
And that's what you'll get. Unless you repent of your sins tonight and trust the Savior. And I'm grateful tonight that the flames of hell my eyes have never seen. Because there was a time in my life when I came to the Lord Jesus. I confessed my sins. And acknowledge that he died for me on the cross. And I said, Jesus, I'll trust you. I'll trust you with my soul. I'm guilty. I'm lost. I'm helpless. But you can make me whole. And as a wee boy of nine, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And praise God, when he comes, I'm going. And all these events that I've spoken about tonight, I'll never experience them. I'll be safe in Christ. But what about you tonight? What about you tonight? And I just urge you in these closing moments of the minute, just to weigh these things up. Forget about your friends tonight. Forget about your family. Forget about your relationships. Forget about your sinful worldly pleasures, my friend. Forget about your sinful habits, my friend. Is there anything? Tell me. Tell me, is there anything that's worth holding on to? That's going to mean you experiencing the outpouring of God's wrath and judgment, not only in this world, but upon you as an individual in the lake of fire for eternity. My friend, I urge you today, right now, to repent of your sins and trust the Savior. Let him into your life. Acknowledge him as Lord. And my friend, experience him to be the great deliverer from the wrath. Our Father, we just bow in thy presence and pray again for the souls of those that are still lost. Oh God, we know that the old devil's here and he's just trying to distract people's mind, even as they listen and even as their head's bowed right now. The old devil's just putting thoughts into their mind and saying, ah, well, you'll hear it again tomorrow night, and wait till you're a lot older and then trust the Saviour, and what if it's not true, and all sorts of things are coming out of their mind, oh God, and we just pray that they would clear everybody's mind tonight and help them to focus, oh God, on the issues that are really at stake. And our Father, by thy Spirit, we ask that we really bring deep conviction of sin, put the very fear of God in the heart of everyone that's unsaved, and our God, grant that even as they bow their head now, that they would simply open their heart and receive Jesus Christ as their Saviour, and our God, know that tremendous relief and experiencing their sins being forgiven and knowing that all is well with their soul for eternity. Oh God, grant that we would just be taken home in safety tonight, but our God, just grant that everyone would go home saved, and we ask that in the precious name of the Lord Jesus and for his glory. Amen. Now we'll just take time to sing a couple of verses of a hymn. It's 260, hymn number 260. And ask the question, where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Verse 4 says, repent, believe this very hour, trust in the Saviour's grace and power. Then will your joyous answer be saved through a long eternity? So we'll just remain seated and just sing these two verses, the first verse and the last verse of hymn number 260. And after that, the meeting is and tied over. We just thank you again for coming, and should the Lord Jesus be not come, then we look forward to seeing you tomorrow night in his word.